Good Life. I'm Dean Wilson. I'm so glad you're with us wherever you are. If you're joining us on television here in the Santa Barbara, California area, we welcome you at TVSB. And of course, so many of you are joining us all around the world at all these different platforms, including goodlifetelevision.org, including our YouTube channel that you can subscribe to, and including the podcast, which you can find any podcast platform. You can go to search and search for Good Life Conversations, and you can see all these great interviews. And at the YouTube channel, you can see both the long form interviews as well as what we call power clips, where we break those up into some of the great moments. And so we're just excited you're with us and along for the ride here, and we're blessed, and we're talking about the good stuff, and we're talking with some great people. It's just been an amazing journey here of talking with so many wonderful people. We're brought to you, as always, by our friends at Bunnin Chevrolet. We're grateful for them, and we're grateful for you. So I'm really excited about my guest today. Lala is with me, Lala Garay. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to go back, and we're going to talk about what Lala is doing, where her passion is, where her heart is. It's a really profound and important thing that you've set your sights on here over the last many years, which I'm inspired by. But I want to go back. So you're born in Guatemala.
Yes.
You have three siblings with a single parent in is it called Alapata?
Alapata is the neighborhood in Miami.
That's where you grew up.
Yes.
So I want you to take us back to that neighborhood.
Okay.
Take us back to that neighborhood. Wow. And take us back to what you experienced growing up in the Alapata neighborhood of Miami.
Well, my father was killed when I was 4 years old in South America. He was part of political parties and supported the Cuban government. So after he was murdered, my mom moved to Nicaragua, which is where she's from, for a year, and then we transitioned to Miami. My mom and my dad met in Guatemala, which is where I was born. Then we went from a lifestyle of, you know, living really nicely to in a two-bedroom apartment in a really bad neighborhood. My mom worked 7 days a week for about 20 years, and she made it happen, you know, for her four kids by herself, without the support from the government, because as an immigrant, she wouldn't be able to obtain food stamps or cash assistance. It was just her working every single day.
What'd she do?
She was a waitress in Alapata. So like a small cafeteria concept.
7 days a week for
20
years.
For 20 years.
And so what were you guys doing?
We were in school or we were home. You know, growing up, it was a different time, so you could be home and be good, you know, quote unquote, before right. You get to like middle school days and high school days. So the neighborhood where I grew up in, it was just normal for your friends to be selling drugs. It was normal for teenage pregnancy to occur. I went to a mostly demographic black school, so I was the Latin one in the community, right? And yeah, that's where I grew up.
And then what? Let's take us through high school. Like, what did you do next?
So elementary, I think, was where I learned about different cultures, because again, I grew up in, my first couple of years of school was in South America, so then transitioning to Miami, a different world. And then middle school, I was also the only Hispanic girl within the community, right? High school was a little bit wild. Miami is known for the party life. You're in the nightclubs at 16 years old. You're drinking alcohol at 16, you know, so, or even younger if you can get access to it, you know, so it's a lot of the party nightlife every single day. You're exposed to it. Drugs are like second nature, you know, so that's growing up in Miami. A lot of partying and drugs.
And how did you end up in California?
God put in my spirit 2 years ago to move here. I was very hesitant because I love where I grew up. And I just kept hearing different preachings that were saying, if you don't do what God is telling you to do, you're going to miss out, you know? And I just decided to obey what my spirit was telling me. And I just started researching, and everything just came together, and now I'm here.
So what, take us back to, like, when did you come to faith?
When I was 18 years old, I officially gave my life to Christ.
How did that happen?
At 16, I was engaged. I know that sounds crazy, but I, I was. Now when I think back, I was like, wow, I was a child. But again,
they
culture.
They grow up fast in Miami. Yeah.
The culture, right? You're exposed to, quote unquote, serious relationships at a very young age.
Right.
So
I have t-shirts that are older than 16 in my closet.
So I was engaged and I went through a really bad breakup, and that's what led me to go to church because I'm the only Christian one in my family. It wasn't really part of our home to go to church on a weekly basis. It's just something that I decided to do because I felt Christian people are going to be nice if I go to like a youth group, you know. So I started going to youth group and I encountered the Holy Spirit for the first time. I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. And once that happened, I was like, there's something here, you know.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's at 16.
At 16, correct.
And then at 18, what happened?
And at 16, I was like, this is cool, but I still want to live my life,
right,
you know. So I didn't want to really commit to the church. I continued to do my own thing. And then at 18, I went through another like boyfriend situation that I was like, okay, that's it. I'm going to Jesus, you know, and
right,
I'm going to be super devoted and just lay my heart down. And I went to a retreat with my home church. It was like a 3-day deliverance retreat.
Wow.
And I got to experience deliverance, you know, and I came back completely different. I couldn't say certain things that I used to say. I couldn't listen to the music I used to listen to. I didn't want to go to the parties I was going to. It's like the Holy Spirit transformed me in this retreat. And ever since then, it's been a different journey for me.
Wow. So somewhere along the line, and I don't have the timeline all perfect, but
yeah,
you developed a passion for teenage girls. You developed a passion for mentoring,
correct.
You developed, so how did that all come to be?
So the church where I got saved and where I went to my retreat, their concept is when you get saved, you want to save others, right? You want to preach the word. And the way that you do that is by hosting Bible study in your home. The same way that I ended up in a youth group,
yeah,
I will open up my own youth group. So I ended up opening up my own youth group, and whoever was in the radius near me in my home, I would like pick up on a weekly basis, mentor them, visit them, call them, pray with them. So I did that for 10 solid years. And then that developed into me being in charge of other leaders because the church where I was going to was about 40 miles away from me. So I was the only real Miami person going to church versus the other town where this church was located.
Wow. So you spent 10 years caring for young...
Yes, and women. I got to meet a lot of different girls in different places, some that their parents were drug addicts that would steal from them. I got to meet girls that were living with an abusive boyfriend because they didn't have anywhere to go. I got to meet girls that were pregnant with their second child by the age of 18. It was a lot, you know, a lot that you don't really get exposed to. And that you don't really become aware that it even exists. I would never think that a parent would steal from their own kid. You know, I even got to meet a girl who her father would sexually abuse her, you know, and through all of this, God used me to pray for them and, you know, be there with them. But my heart was to help them for real, you know, like give them a home of where they can stay, which is how I developed the idea of my nonprofit, which originally was to offer a shelter for teenage runaway moms and just help them with self-development and how to become successful beings, even if they have a child at a young age, so they wouldn't feel limited because of that.
So the vision, and by the way, it's Gray's Community Heart, right?
Yes.
That's the name of the entity, yes. Gray's Community Heart.
Correct.
So you can find that on Instagram, Gray's, G-A-R-A-Y-S, Gray's
Community
Heart. If you search for that on Instagram, you can find Lala. So the vision then is for a home or a place? I mean, what would you, if you had all the money you needed, what would you do?
I will have a shelter for teenage moms and then offer them classes on how to cook and how to be a business owner and how to, you know, learn different languages and just further develop their education, you know, so they can feel like they also have a chance and not feel limited because they had a child at a young age. Provide child care, and in exchange it will be that they have to be successfully like achieving all these things, whether being enrolled in school or doing the classes that the shelter will offer, you know. Yeah. So that way you can stay here and it's not like you're just getting free rent, it's you're actually, you know, developing as a human being.
That is a great idea.
Thank
you. You have this, I was reading about like the events.
Right. So what happened was I started two different things at the same time. My nonprofit, which is Garay's Community Heart, and Garay Productions.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, my nonprofit, that was the heart of it.
Yeah.
But once I started to research what it actually consists of having a shelter, it's not a one woman job. You know, you need a team.
Right.
You need a lot of money for that.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do what I can do with who I know and just help and give back to the community,
yeah.
Which is how we started the quarterly feeding drives for the homeless locally. So we were feeding 200, 300, up to 400 homeless people in the city of Miami. We had just teams of donations for meals, and we will put them together ourselves and we will just pass them out ourselves. Now, the event production concept, Miami is a party city, right? And you don't really see Christian parties, right? So what I decided to do was start something different, and I just started renting rooftop parties and making them Christian. So I will have a Christian DJ come out, like live art going on, fashion shows. We had Christian designers, you know, all faith-based creatives coming together.
We don't have enough Christian parties.
Yeah, fun ones.
I can tell
Keyword.
You. They have to be fun. Yeah, no,
Keyword.
I'm with you on that. We need more parties. Just because it's Wednesday. You know? Like, that's my philosophy. Like, why are you having a party? We used to have a party in my backyard. We were in this suburban track house out in Goleta, 20 minutes from here, for 5 years, or 6 years we were there. And so I started a Christmas party in our backyard. And it went from 100 to 250 to 400. I think the last year we had like 500 people. Dance floor, like, police came every year. Our congresswoman came. Like, we had, it was called the Silver Fern Ball because we lived on Silver Fern Court. Just have a party. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we did.
That's awesome.
I believe in parties.
Yeah.
So did Jesus.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So your vision then is to have a shelter long term.
Yes.
So, like, residents? Like, I mean, can they come live there for a period of time?
Right.
Permanently or a year?
I would say to get their foundation, you know, settled. And because it's hard for young girls that have a kid and they don't have the support system from their parents or any support system, right? So usually what ends up is that they'll either become, you know, a stripper, or they'll sell drugs, or they just will work at McDonald's and not do anything else because they feel like they can't do anything else.
Right.
So it's just exposing them to, you absolutely can. You know, you need the right support system. So that's what the shelter will consist of.
Do you know about any government programs to fund a shelter like that?
You know, I started to do my research, but if I'm honest, like I said, it's not just something that I can do on my own. It will be a team effort thing, and it's just finding the right team to be part of something so big is hard, you know?
You need to talk to our team at the Turner Foundation.
Okay.
Because we figured this out in the last year. There's government funding for transitional housing.
Okay.
Or permanent. There's transitional and there's transitional permanent.
Right.
The project we're doing right now is transitional permanent, where the government actually gives a grant for 80% of the deal to get it, to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then city and county money can meet the rest.
Okay.
It's an extremely thick grant application and it's very complicated.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, there are resources out there that we should explore, because they might be that it could happen sooner than you think.
Okay.
Where you don't have to raise every dollar.
Right.
Because the government's very concerned about housing, rightly so.
Especially in California.
In California and in that population that you're talking about, it's a, I think it can be a population that is tricky and messy.
Yeah.
And so that means not a lot of people are lining up to do it.
Right.
So if God's given you the desire, the passion, the vision, then you've got that.
Yes.
You know? And if you've got that, then I think the funding could come through some of these sources. So anyway, side note.
But good to know.
I'd love to see it happen for you.
Same.
And so you're based out of LA?
I live in LA now, yes. I've been living here for a year and a half.
And how are you surviving LA?
The first 3 months were so intense. I'm actually writing a book.
Really?
Just to share the craziness that God does, you know, when he puts something in your heart and you just have to lay everything just down and allow God to move. It's, for me as a control freak,
right,
was hard. Was so hard.
Right.
And I'm calling it the assignment, because I feel like God put me on an assignment to come here for a reason. And I had to let go of my comfort zone. I had a very well-paying job. I had a very nice apartment in Miami. I didn't need to leave where I was at.
Right.
You know, it was something that was in my spirit. And when I came here, I first lived in a co-living space. So it's basically you share an apartment with like 8 other people, which is crazy, because I went from living completely alone to sharing space with 8 other people that are completely different. So that was hard, very hard. And then just, you know, the whole job market here is very different as well. In Miami, you apply and you get a job. Here is like you apply, and you're just waiting for like 4 months until you get a call back. You know, so it's been a challenge at this point. I'm grateful. I am working for myself. I live alone. So it's been a testimony, the whole journey.
Wow.
So it's been hard. God has literally removed everything and replenished and came back 3 times fold, as the word says, you know, but it hasn't been easy at all.
And you know, people that work that like you, that have a vision of God calling, that step into this kind of stuff, there's a lot of headwind, because it's because based on my experience in some of these difficult environments, it can be pretty intense. The darkness.
Yeah.
Piercing the darkness, you know, the thickness of a spirit of despair, a spirit of poverty, a spirit of hopelessness, a spirit, whatever it is. Like, when you're walking into that, like, you better be prayed up. Like, you better, you know, because you got to come pretty strong, or it can take you, you know, it'll take you down.
Yeah.
Have you found that?
So I'm a dreamer. I dream a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of things that I dream, I see happen. I know that before I came here, I was dreaming about driving on the 405, and just seeing the mountains, right? So after a week of me living here, I had a dream that I was on the 405 and I saw a bunch of like demons coming towards me, and I turned into Samson and I just started like fighting all these demons.
Really?
So I knew it was a
The 405 is full of demons. We know that. We've known that for many years. Yeah.
I love that.
No question.
So I knew that it was going to be crazy, but that I was going to overcome it, right? And I believe there's a spirit of stagnation in LA and California in general. And it's a constant prayer. It's a constant, you know, battle. I'm constantly fasting and just doing what I have to do as a believer to overcome that, you know, but God is greater than all of that at the end of the day. So yes, there are spirits that are not godly that can come against you, but we have Jesus and right. We overcome that.
That's so. Right. Amen. And you have community around you?
When you say community.
Friends, good friends who are mature believers?
I go to church. I go to Jerusalem's church in Glendale.
Well, that's a good tribe.
Yes. When I first moved here, I was going to One LA, and then I checked out another ministry in Simi Valley for a little bit. But I feel like it, with Jerusalem, it's the right fit.
Yeah.
You know, it's where I'm supposed to be.
That's a fantastic group. And yeah, having your people around you is important in the work you're going to do.
Yes.
You got to have that tribe, you know.
Yes. I do still keep in contact with my Miami pastor, and
we
pray every week, and, you know, he keeps me accountable as well. So I don't have like a tribe per se, but I do have my go-tos where
that's
I'm like, good. I can't anymore.
Yeah.
Any prayer?
Yeah. Well, it would be fun to you know, follow you and pray for you as you walk this out. I mean, clearly he's brought you here, you know, for a reason. You have this in your heart, and that's, you know, if you cling on to that, it'll happen.
Amen.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
He doesn't make promises that he doesn't keep, you know.
It's been happening.
Good. Well, I'm really thrilled to meet you. Lala Garay, everybody. Garay is G-A-R-A-Y. And you can find on Instagram, Garay's Community Heart, G-A-R-A-Y-S, Community Heart. You can search and you can find her there. And it looks like there's some like Facebook stuff too, and like
yeah,
and things
you
that people can
the
watch.
Name.
But there's she has a heart for mentoring and caring for young women. So if you have an interest in that, I'd encourage you to seek her out, because you don't find a lot of people that want to step into the fray and really do something and make an impact. So yeah, it's wonderful. Great to meet you.
Likewise.
And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.